Hello, welcome back to Dev Radio. My guest today is Richard Conway of Elastic Games, data scientist with Elastic Games. Richard, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. What is a data scientist?
I think a lot of people are still trying to define a data scientist. I would say generally they are a person that tries to make sense out of data. So I have a very strong engineering background. I have a strong maths background. And even though there's no qualified definition of this, I think those two things as a hybrid really suffice to say that you're a data scientist. So one of the things that we've been doing over the last few years, if you want to define a data scientist by the sorts of things that they do, is making really good use of machine learning and big data and analytics tools.
Excellent. And what is Elastic Games? What do you guys do?
Well, so going on that thread of data science, what we're doing is we're creating a cloud platform to basically predict for free-to-play games designers what their users are going to do next. So in the free-to-play games market, it's absolutely imperative that that the games designers understand their users and understand all of the changes that they're making to the game, because the monetization within these games is very, very marginal because there's a huge amount of competition. So it really is a case of understanding whether users are happy with the game, whether or not they're retaining the users, whether or not users are actually talking about the game in a good way across social media, and just finding out whether or not whether they're going to retain them in the future, and they're going to be an advocate for that game on an ongoing basis. So there's a lot of different things in there that need to happen to make that. So that's what we're trying to attain with Elastic Games.
Oh, that is a lot of things. How do you attain it?
So we generally we're using data science tools. And, you know, these things can be very complicated. You know, there's a lot of advanced maths in this. There's some very heavyweight systems that you have to put in place. People have been using business intelligence, for example, for years. And as you can imagine, if you segment a player using a data warehousing strategy, you know, you can find out where they're from, how many times a day that they've played, whether or not they've monetized, what locale they're using. There's so many different things that you can attribute to a particular player. So really, that's what we're trying to do. And one of the things that has made us advance this in a very, very big way is using Azure and using a lot of these new services. So, for example, we've been using the Azure SQL DW to do this sorts of segmentation. Yeah, the data warehouse, to do these sorts of segmentation, because it's very easy. We don't need to know complicated MDX, and we can use raw SQL. So these are ubiquitous skills. You know, and at the same time, because this is scalable, literally scalable on a whim, I can tell Azure that I want either a lot of this or a little of this. So we're not running this 24/7. We can pause this. We can really focus on the actual business problem rather than managing infrastructure or managing costs. If we were going to be doing this 6 to 12 months ago, we would have had to have deployed an analysis services or another data warehouse on a virtual machine. And that would involve another person with another job who had that skill and a different programming model, which was not so easy for the team that we have.
So what's the goal here? You're doing data warehousing for what, predictive analytics or just ad hoc querying or what?
Yeah, so we're doing data warehousing to segment and aggregate what each of the users for particular games are doing, whether or not they're playing games in a long-standing capacity, whether or not, you know, they're actually paying the games designers money. But at the same time, that is only telling us partially what's happening in the game. One of the things that we want to know, which is almost like the Holy Grail, is what will happen next week, what will happen tomorrow. So with that in mind, what we've been doing is we've been using machine learning and artificial intelligence through neural networks, which have been really easy to implement using Azure ML. So we've been able to create very scalable trained models and then use these models to predict whether or not a player is going to churn or in more sort of friendly English, whether or not this session will be the last session and that the games designer will not be retaining them. And that's a really powerful thing, because what it means is that a games company, if they know in advance that their player's not happy, they can do something about it. They can send them an email. They can put other games in their portfolio that they might be interested in. They can make changes in the games, give them offers. But without that foreknowledge, they can't do anything, and they lose the player.
Wow, that's excellent. So you're using the ML Studio tools inside of Azure to do that?
Absolutely, and it was so easy to do.
Is that what's the advantage of using a tool like ML Studio over just, say, writing your own R code or Python code?
So R and Python integrates really well with ML Studio. In the team, we have both R and Python users, although the data science part of Elastic Games is all centered around R. I think one of the powerful things is that we can scale the model in principle, which we can't do using R Studio. So there's very R as an environment is very good for data scientists to get up and running into proof of concept models, but then to take them into production is very difficult. Over the years, there have been services like Shiny that have been created to expose things as web services, but they'll only scale as far as a laptop will scale. So being able to throw the scale into the actual service so that we don't have to worry about hundreds of requests a second being consumed against this service is fantastic for us, because that's one less problem. One thing that we can push onto Microsoft with an SLA and just focus on writing the actual R to get the best model.
Very cool. I'm actually just learning machine learning right now, and luckily there's someone on my team, Jennifer Marsman, who is doing a lot of research in this area. She's been able to help me out.
Oh, you are going to have so much fun. When I started, it was really, really exciting.
So far, so good. So far, it's been a lot of fun. You did mention also Azure Service Fabric, which is pretty new. Tell me about that and how you're using it.
So the Azure Service Fabric is allowing us to rather than think about this as a set of discrete services. So ordinarily, you may have a high performance database. You might have a set of web services. And a programming model, maybe using cloud services and worker roles to process messages from the game. What we were able to do is treat all of the game environment as a set of what are called actors, and it's these things which appear more like microservices within the service fabric that allow us to have a comprehensive programming model which centers around a player, for example. So a player may be an actor, and certain events that they do could be an actor. And then when we built this out, we thought, well, we've modeled this without any sort of real end in sight. Maybe what we could do is create a set of leaderboards, since we have the concept of a player actor. And then all of a sudden it became very obvious that that we could create country leaderboards in real time. We could create friends leaderboards in real time, because we had friend services. And so by extension, this really is the real-time messaging hub, where everything enters actually through a set of event hub messages. And we can keep a real-time state. We don't need to worry about the underlying resilience of that state, because that's spread over a service fabric cluster. So we just deal with the programming model, whether it's actors or distributed collections, and it totally makes our job easier, because we don't need to think about databases, data source, resilience, backups, all of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. So you just described all the advantages of platform as a service over infrastructure as a service.
Absolutely.
You've extracted away all what I call the plumbing parts of the application.
And I think coming to this as a developer, this is a really powerful thing. I think that that even though infrastructure as a service is very, very popular, as more and more companies get okay with the cloud and really begin to use it, I think the development and project teams will begin to use platform as a service more when they understand the power of it.
Richard, I'm looking at ElasticGames.com, and I see a superhero here. I think it's called Captain Pastry. What's up with him?
Yes. Okay, so so Captain Pastry is our superhero. He's our motif for games. We thought we'd come up with our favorite hero lookalike, since the whole team is fond of pastries, and it's our morning thing. So we thought we'd come up with, rather than a professional image for our startup, we thought we'd come up with, you know, a very sort of sassy, funky image that would make people laugh. So you can see that we've got two motifs here. We've got a new to us motif, which is our Clark Kent, and our returning motif, which is Captain Pastry.
Okay. And how do customers engage you? Do they are you building custom solutions for each customer, or is there sort of a product they can just plug into and start using?
So there's a product that they can plug into and start using. We've been working with some games companies through some very well-designed Microsoft programs in the UK that have really aimed to help the free-to-play games industry here, help them with a lot of guidance and a lot of help with being able to scale things on Azure. So I think this has really been the first and important thing for us. We want to work very closely with Microsoft, and these programs to try to leverage and solicit the right kind of feedback so that we can build a top-notch product that's that just covers 100% of all of our scenarios. So,
go ahead.
So I was just going to say that I urge any games companies who are in this state, who are just starting out, to contact us, and I'm sure that we can help them and have a conversation to get them on board, into the testing and feedback cycle of our product.
Oh, what's the best way to contact you? Through the website?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's ElasticGames.com once again.
Yeah, or they can contact me directly at richard@elastigames.com.
Speaking of working with Microsoft, I understand you are a BizSpark member.
Yes. The BizSpark program has been fantastic for us. It's really helped us to, in terms of our software, because we have C# development on the team, so to be able to utilize Visual Studio, because Microsoft provides development licenses for us, is fantastic. We were able to get quick started because there's some free Azure time for 3 years, and off of the back of a program called BizSpark Plus, we were offered a much larger sum to really help us get kick-started. And I think that we probably wouldn't have been able to do this at the scale that we are had it not been for Microsoft helping and cosseting us all along the way.
You're talking about scalability. That implies that business is pretty good right now.
Yes. So hopefully long may it continue. But we're getting a lot of inquiries at the moment. And I think that because the UK is a very... has a very strong gaming industry here. We're solely focused here initially, but we'll be looking to take cloud predictions internationally. And I think that the first set of use cases and the first set of companies that we're finding are really comfortable with us are those that are already using the cloud, because they understand that they can scale cloud data. They understand all the challenges associated with this, and they're not as nervous as companies that are still using on-premise services or managed hosts.
Mm-hmm. Are most of your customers in the UK?
That's correct. Yes, they are.
Okay. I noticed this. The world is shrinking quite a bit. You're in the UK, but you had to remind me. We actually met about 4 years ago in a hotel in Bellevue, Washington, at breakfast.
And, absolutely.
It's the first time I've seen you, your face, since then. will you be at, that was at the MVP Summit.
It was.
Are you going to be there this year?
I'll be there as well.
Absolutely
be there. Fantastic.
I'm on the other side now, so I lost my MVP when I joined Microsoft, but I'm planning to go this year as well.
Oh, brilliant.
And I've also discovered we have some coworkers that we both know. So Andy and Tibby are also
absolutely
part of your team.
Yeah,
and,
so
I'm gonna give a shout out real quickly. I have another show called Technology and Friends, and it's also on Channel 9. I've been running it for about 7 years, and Andy and Tibby have both been on my show. And so I'm going to formally invite you to be on that show when we meet in Bellevue. That's all right.
That sounds wonderful. I'd love to.
Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that we should have? Anything you want to promote?
I think that we've started this business, and we've tried to really focus on sets of practical services that would interest people. And also, because we've got limited development resources, we wanted to do something that was achievable in a few months, which is what Azure has helped us to do very quickly. I think that our plans over the next 12 months are to scale these services mainly around the machine learning side of things. So to really understand in real time, not what's going to happen in the next session, but in the next few seconds or in the next 10 seconds, so that we can treat every single user, every single player, as effectively as a time series, to understand their events, how they're interacting with the game, and make predictions to ensure that we get them the most satisfied players that we possibly can.
Outstanding. Well, I wish you the best of luck, Richard.
Thank you.
And thanks for being on Dev Radio.
And thanks for inviting me.
And thank you for watching.